Hello, friends, and thank you for joining us in this community of goodness, building up the common good for a greater good every day, singing the songs and telling the stories of the people of America and the world, Larry Long. Recording the songs, the stories, the sounds of our communities, our fellow citizens, our neighborhoods, Brett Hughes. I'm Tom Thibodeau, and today we take time to honor the Dalai Lama and his very good friend, Desmond Tutu.
On a winter's evening in my hometown, Christmas lights are shimmering, snow is on the ground, carolers are singing, joyous silent night. But in black South Africa, you won't find one candlelight. In a little village in the backside of Cape Town, a little boy is trembling, tears are rolling down. Police broke into his home, it's against the law, my friend, to burn one, don't you know? Will you light a candle for South Africa? Put a light in your window on a cold, dark winter's night. Will you light a candle for South Africa? If we all light candles, surely they will see the light. It might cause a riot, that's what the police say. To light one little candle, even on a Christmas day. How fragile can their order be? Say, who can say they are free when so many still are slaves? Will you light a candle in South Africa? Put a light in your window on a cold, dark winter's night. Will you light a candle? If we all light candles, surely they will see the light. Why must we fight between ourselves and pretend we cannot see? Divide and conquer, foolish game, state emergency. Nothing can hide such shame, such brutality. How much more blood will flow before we are set free? Will you light a candle in South Africa? Put a light in your window on a cold, dark winter's night. Will you light a candle in South Africa? If we all light candles, surely they will see the light.
Larry, you sing so beautifully. Another beautiful soul that we've lost recently is the Honorable Archbishop of South Africa, Desmond Tutu. A peacemaker for the whole world, the 20th century and beyond. Desmond Tutu, who served as the chairperson for the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa in the rebuilding of that new nation after apartheid. Desmond Tutu, a joyous warrior, if you will, for nonviolence, asking people to respond not out of hate, but of goodness. He's written a marvelous book with his daughter, Mofo, and it's made for goodness, he writes. We are made for goodness. We are made for love. We are made for friendliness. We are made for togetherness. We are made for all the beautiful things that you and I know. We are made to tell the world that there are no outsiders. All are welcome, male, female, gay, straight, all. We all belong to this family, the human's family, God's family. He writes, there's no way in which you can ever win a war against terror. As long as there are conditions in many parts of the world that make people desperate, poverty, disease, ignorance, I hope that we will discover soon that we can survive only together. We can prosper only together. And I think people are beginning to realize this, that you can have pockets of prosperity in one part of the world and huge deserts of poverty and deprivation and think that you can have a stable and secure world. Desmond Tutu, Archbishop of South Africa, lived under the oppression of apartheid for many years, in which he struggled as a religious leader to keep hope alive. And he forged a powerful friendship with another religious leader, a world religious leader, who himself has lived in the diaspora, a man who had to flee his own country to save his life, the religious leader of the Tibetans, the Dalai Lama. In 2015, the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu got together, two friends gathering. The Dalai Lama could not visit Archbishop Tutu in South Africa because the South African government banned him, thinking that if the Dalai Lama was allowed to come to South Africa, the Chinese would retaliate with economic sanctions. So instead, his good friend, Desmond Tutu, traveled across the continents to Dharamsala, and the two of them met with each other as brothers in a marvelous conversation recorded in what's now called the Book of Joy. The Dalai Lama speaks. Now, please, you speak more. I should concentrate on eating. This is my last meal of the day. In the Buddhist monastic tradition, the Dalai Lama eats only two meals a day, breakfast and lunch. Okay, as I was saying, do you really think that when I didn't say if, I said when, the Dalai Lama arrives in heaven, that God will say, oh, Dalai Lama, you've been so wonderful. What a pity you're not a Christian. You'll have to go to a warmer place. Everybody sees just how entirely ridiculous this is. The Archbishop pauses and then, in a very intimate moment of friendship, said, I think one of the best things that ever happened to me was meeting you. The Dalai Lama smiled and then started to tell another story. I thought you were going to try to eat, the Archbishop said. The Dalai Lama chortled and went back to his dessert. Yes, but you've been a wonderful influence in the world, the Archbishop continued. There are many, many people that you have helped to become good people, and people of different religions, people of different faiths. They can see, they can sense, because I don't think it's what you say, although yes, what you say is okay, sort of acceptable. Scientists also think you're clever, but it's really who you are. I think everywhere in the world you go, people are aware that you are authentic. You're not putting it on. You live what you teach. You have helped very, very, very many people recover a belief in their faiths, a belief also in goodness. You are popular not just with old people, But with young people, I said that you and Nelson Mandela are the only people I can think of who are not pop stars and who could fill Central Park as you do. I mean, when people know that you're coming to speak, they come in droves. So the thing we say about our world being a secular world and all that is only partly true. The Dalai Lama waved his hands, dismissing his rank or specialness. I've always considered myself personally one of the 7 billion human beings, nothing special. So on that level, I have tried to make people aware that the ultimate source of happiness is simply a healthy body and a warm heart. And as I spoke, I wondered, why is it so difficult for us to believe and act on this? It should be obvious that we are the same, but often feel separate. There's so much isolation and alienation. Certainly, I've grown up with this feeling in New York City, which at this time was the most populated place in the world. The ultimate happiness? Simply a healthy body and a warm heart. There is wisdom for the ages and the pandemic.
Like Bishop Tutu, His Holiness the Dalai Lama has a great deal to teach us. For 5 days, I was given the opportunity to sit with His Holiness the Dalai Lama with 4,000 others at the Coliseum in Madison, Wisconsin, where he guided us through 50 hours of selective readings and meditation. Throughout his discussion, the Dalai Lama would break out in spontaneous laughter and say, "Oh, that's one mistake." The Dalai Lama would laugh. He would begin again and then laugh. "That's mistake number two." The following are some of the quotes I received from the Dalai Lama during that time from his teachings. Quote one, "Only through application does one find wisdom." Number two, "Be concerned about one's life and not one's legacy." Three, "To cultivate compassion is to cultivate forbearance." Four, "Your enemy is truly your teacher." Five, "Always walk into situations with clarity of purpose, while allowing room for the unknown to be seen in any given instant." Six, "Focus on the root of suffering." Seven, "Cease all grasping." And lastly, "Meditate on emptiness." In 2008, I was fortunate to honor the late Tibetan scholar and author Gyatso Shiring with children in Columbia Heights, Minnesota, through my program, Elders' Wisdom Children's Song. In Mr. Gyatso Shiring's own words, he shared this, "I am Tibetan. Tibet is a beautiful country. When I was born in Tibet, everybody lived in peace and everybody had good feelings, good food, and clothes to wear. In 1959, Tibet was invaded. Tibetans had to flee from the country to escape to a border country. 2 million people died, and 100,000 people had to leave Tibet. The Dalai Lama, leader of the Tibetan people, came to India too. We had to seek the help of other people. Tibetan children were dying of hunger and health problems. Older people, Tibetan people needed help too. The government of India gave the Dalai Lama refuge status, so he established the government for Tibet in India. The first thing the Dalai Lama taught was to care for the children who were orphaned. The Dalai Lama asked me to leave my own job in India to help him. I worked in the private office of the Dalai Lama. We talked about the Tibetan people and education. I was working as a translator and trying to make projects to help the people. I helped to build schools, translate books, and restore paintings, woodwork, and so on. The happiest part of my life is when I help people. Try to love other people and not harm other people. Bring happiness to other people. Also be kind to other people, even insects. Develop your mind. Because I work for the Dalai Lama, I won't be given permission by China to return to Tibet. Many Tibetan people now have a good life in America. We are grateful for that. We try to help the Tibetan community from here. As long as the Dalai Lama is alive, there is hope. If Tibet gets independence and economic status, we will return to Tibet. Here's the song that I wrote in honor of His Holiness the Dalai Lama and the words of Gyatso Sharing, simply called Tibet.
As we fled across the border to India.
exotic country. 100,000 refugees, 1 million killed, so many orphaned. The Dalai Lama called for me. Will you be there to help the children? To build schools, clinics, and libraries. Will you be there to help the people serving others? I agree. But to be mindful, where can we go but to be kind? Compassionate to soothe those who suffer, to keep hope alive. For Tibet, for the children, for those in whom yet to arise. May love grow, may love prosper, may Tibet never die. Shiva Champaninje.
In the words of His Holiness the Dalai Lama, the awakening mind is where all rivers flow through, traveling from a place of joy to another place of joy. Thank you all so much for listening to Community of Goodness. Have yourself a wonderful week, and thank you for all that you do.
In the spirit of His Holiness the Dalai Lama and our beloved Archbishop Desmond Tutu, let us wish each other peace and all good in what we do and who we are.
You have been listening to Community of Goodness with Larry Long and Tom Thibodeau, produced and recorded by Brett Hoos. For more information about Larry and Tom, please visit www.larrylong.org and www.tomttalks.com. We look forward to being with you next week. Thank you for listening.